at 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It says it in the name. You got junk, then you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK if you want to get it gone. I mean, if you like to curate the junk, what you're into, that's fine. But for the rest of us that would like to get rid of the junk, it's as easy as picking up the phone or going online, contacting 1-800-GOT-JUNK and making that appointment. And it's a not to start grief with my friend Dalton, but you know, the nice thing with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they give you a day, they give you a time, you can get to an agreement on that appointment. They show up at that time, like when they say, and then they're there, and then they say, okay, well, we think the job will be X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then.
Yeah. I'm dealing with a situation right now with a company that is not 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they clearly don't operate on the same values that 1-800-GOT-JUNK does. And anyone out there who works like I do knows how frustrating that is, that they just want to show up whenever. Not,
that's right.
Not when you set your appointment time, but you don't have to worry about that with Trey Bennett and the crew.
That's for sure. All right. Make that appointment today by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. This hour, we'll talk about what was announced this morning. AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne calling for a formal investigation into the Bidens. He's going to call on three committees in the House to investigate. I think he's saying this shouldn't be an investigation done by foreign entities. Why not the Congress doing an investigation into the Bidens? And this comes on the heels of this weekend and the announcements that Hunter Biden's going to resign from that Chinese private equity firm. Interesting. And now they're saying it's, I think they're painting this with Joe Biden as being like, we're going to be above, you know, beyond reproach and all that.
Right. And Biden, when he was talking about it over the weekend, he said, yeah, my son just put out a statement. I had no knowledge of the statement before he put it out there. Right, I'm reading it along with all of you out. And of course, that's kind of a throwback to when Trump Jr. put out a statement, and a lot of people said that the president actually had something to do with how that statement was worded. But he also said, you know, once I'm president, I will not have any of my family. They won't have an office in the White House. They won't be dealing with any of these other countries, which is kind of funny because he was in office when this initially started. He was the vice president when his son was working with these other companies overseas. So, yeah, obviously trying to paint himself in a light different than the president right now.
Yes. I mean, this is, it should be unsaid, I mean, but I guess it has to be said that they will commit to halting all work with foreign entities if their dad's president. Okay, I think that's good. I think that's probably good. So Hunter Biden says he's backing out. So board of directors, Chinese-backed private equity company. So he's on the board of the energy, the gas, I guess gas and oil group there in Ukraine, and the private equity firm in China.
Nothing shady about that, right?
No, I'd like to point out, with those availabilities, I'm able to sit on those boards. If y'all want to hire me, I can do that for you. I can help you out.
Would you sleep through those meetings?
Probably, but I mean, I'd collect my check.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's a pretty big check.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm in. If y'all need somebody, I'm here. I got, you know, I can sign up tomorrow for that. So we'll talk about that this hour. Also, what's going on in Syria. And today, Columbus Day. You heard the news account. Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. And this goes back to, this is my beef here with the state of Alabama, and this is, welcome to unpopular opinions, so y'all get ready. The fact that Robert E. Lee's birthday is celebrated on the same day as Martin Luther King Jr. Day, okay? And people say, well, the birthday's this and that. You could move these things to have them on separate days. I think it's, in the case of, for example, Columbus Day was first. Not, you know, and we don't have a big Columbus Day celebration around here, even though there's Italian folks, you know, but not a big Columbus Day. But in places there are, they moved in with Indigenous Peoples Day to counter that. I would say when you have those you have a questionable to some people, a questionable holiday to some people, and so you add another holiday to be celebrated on the same day as some kind of balance mechanism, you do disservice to both events.
It's like passive aggressiveness.
It is.
Americans are great at being passive aggressive, but you're just going to
celebrate whatever you want today. It can be whatever, you know.
You're going to put your holiday up there to compete with this other one, and mainly I think it's for the press releases that come out that day. It gets kind of mentioned side by side.
I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb that we do that in Alabama, that, you know, it's Martin Luther King Day. Oh, yeah, it's also Robert E. Lee's birthday. I think they should be separate days. If you want to celebrate both of them, then find different days to do that. Same thing with the Indigenous Peoples Day on the same day as Columbus Day. I got to tell you, if I'm choosing one or the other to celebrate, contributions of Italian Americans are of legend. We wouldn't be doing this radio thing if it wasn't for that Marconi guy. At the same time, I would argue that you want to talk about something bigger and at the base of our country is Indigenous peoples. Mm-hmm. And I think they should have a day separate from Columbus Day. I realize they put Indigenous Peoples Day on the same day as a pushback to Columbus Day. But I would argue that if you separated those two and put Indigenous Peoples Day on another day, the celebration and the noting of that day would be more pure, right? And more pure in celebration and in press releases, like you said, and all that. So, I mean, I see that kind of doubling up thing. There's a analog, at least in my mind. You may disagree, and phone lines, text line are open, 343-0106. But I see an analog between what we do here in Alabama with Robert E. Lee's birthday and Martin Luther King Day. Okay, I see that as the same as Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. Separate them. Have different holidays. Let's celebrate them. You know, the ones you choose on that day, it is just that holiday.
And I'm checking the calendar. Looks like we're open from the 15th through the 31st. So any of those days.
The 31st has got that Halloween thing.
Well, until the 31st, I should say, with Halloween there. And then you don't want the 30th either because people are hyped up for Halloween. So how about the 21st? That'd be a good day for Indigenous Peoples Day.
I'm looking at the calendar here. Yeah, just a week from today.
Yeah, that lines up.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, why not? You know, why not do that? I mean, I get it. I get your little jabs. I mean, even here in Alabama. But I think most people look at that and go, come on, have another day. Lord knows we have holidays and events for all kind of things. Why would we have to double up on a given day?
And I love the people that are like apologists for Columbus, where I guess they feel guilty. You know, now, what are we, 250 years past when Columbus first got here? And the people that still are like, you know, sorry about that. We shouldn't have done that, when we're as far removed from that as anything else from the late 1700s.
Yeah. So we'll take your calls. We're getting some texts on this as well at 343-0106. By the way, too, we had some suggestions here. I just, at the end of last hour, we're talking about, Kelly had headlines about the, you know, additional, it's a story from last week, additional animal control agents that have been deputized by Mobile Sheriff Sam Cochran so they can now write tickets. And I said, maybe this is the start of an idea for a TV show. Well, you know, Cops has been very successful. Why not, like, an animal cops show, animal yeah. control show? I would probably, to be frank with you, I'd watch that show. Mm-hmm. If it came on with the men and women of animal control and they're out on the streets, I would say the rough streets. Like David said, the animal cop show could be called It's a Rough Life.
That's pretty good. That's
somebody
pretty good.
Suggested what else here we got on the list?
Jace coming through, and I guess this is maybe bad news or good news, depending on how you look at it. He said there might already be an animal control show out there, maybe on A&E.
Called
Animal Control, but that's just hearsay at this point until we've actually talked to someone who has seen this show. And I was actually driving around Mobile Friday afternoon and saw an animal control truck drive by, and I wish I could have stopped him. He probably would have thought something bad was going on, but I wish I could have stopped him and said, hey, how are you feeling about this new law?
Can I get a little interview here with you?
Now that you've been deputized and you're able to get out there and get these bad dogs off the streets, I wanted to kind of ask him about that. But are you wanting a show that's like Cops or like Live PD where it's real stuff? Or do you want like one of those tow truck shows where everything is scripted?
No, I don't want scripted. I want real, and even maybe like Live PD where they go, we're following animal control in these following three cities, you know, today, and here's what's happening. They got to call out on a bear in a tree. They got to call out on a dog on the run. They got a kitty on a roof.
A snake house. Got a lot of snakes in the house.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking about a show and putting, when people let the dogs out, these people put them back in. Be right back. Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And what did you say? I guess I was over here scribbling notes. I was scribbling notes about this animal control TV show from the text line, writing down the notes into my notes. And you said, what about Columbus?
Oh, well, let's chalk this up to a slow start on a Monday morning. I said 250 years since Columbus got here. I was thinking about the Revolution.
Right.
I was thinking about, you know, signing of the Constitution and all that good stuff.
Yeah, he was way
1492, right?
He sailed the ocean blue.
Okay, yeah. Major mix-up on my part.
I was wondering, like, people were, I've seen all these notes. I'm like, what are they talking about? Oh, yeah, Tony's in Bay Minette, wants to chime in as well. Hey, Tony.
Hey, yeah, that was it, that it was 500, not 250.
Thank you.
It's a Monday.
But I also wanted to say that I agree with you about the Indigenous People's Day, mainly because if it's just added to Columbus Day, it's just a protest.
Right, I think it's something
the Native American history is important and it ought to be celebrated. And so Indigenous People's Day should be a separate day so that it's a celebration and not just like a reaction.
And I appreciate hearing you say that. That's kind of how I see it. And I don't want to, I know that people want to take Indigenous People's Day and get rid of Columbus Day and celebrate this one versus the other one. But in reality, instead of, like you said, as a protest, what about a day? I mean, what a day for study and celebration and talking about those cultures we could have, not just a protest against Columbus Day.
Yeah. And that adds another little wrinkle to it. History is my thing. And the reality is the protests are trying to judge Columbus in our modern era.
Well said.
And he needs to be judged in his time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's a failing of history education today. But, that's another subject. Just
thought
I'd throw that in.
No, I appreciate the call. Thank you for your comments on it. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, if you go through the library there in the home office in my library, this is because I'm showing you my bias here. There's way more books about Native American culture than there are about Columbus.
Mm.
Okay. Actually, I don't know. I have books that mention Columbus because it's about the whole period, but any like straight up Columbus books I don't have. I have books that have a discussion of Columbus in it, but it's in a bigger setting of European politics then and what was going on in the New World. And I know I'm that boring, but then I have a bunch of books about Native American culture as an American. I'm very interested in it, always have been in a way. And I would like to have a day where we're celebrating Indigenous people. Mm-hmm. And talking about instead of it just being a counter. And the same thing is here in Alabama with Robert E. Lee's birthday being celebrated on the same day as Martin Luther King Jr. We have enough days. Lord knows they will make a holiday for anything, and shut things down. What about just separating these days?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm on a Ken Burns kick now.
Yeah, have you been watching the country music thing?
I'm trying to catch up.
I'm just waiting for it all to get finished, and then I can go back like I did with the Vietnam thing and start it from the beginning.
Right, so I start, and I think there's like 18 hours of the country music one, and I started it. I watched like the first episode and a half, so I'm 3 hours in or something like that. So I went ahead and started on one of them that are on Netflix, The West, which I don't think is an actual Ken Burns film. I don't think he did The West. I think one of his proteges did that one, and it's just kind of under his name.
What, The West?
Yeah.
He didn't do that one?
I don't think he did. I think that
it's fantastic,
Ken
too.
Burns, under his company.
Okay.
But I think it's one of his proteges that did it. I might be wrong on that, but, learning about the Native Americans that were already here, and mm-hmm. there were a ton of atrocities, but I think we're at a day and age now where I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of argument from a lot of people that the Indigenous people do deserve their day and deserve to be celebrated as mm-hmm. as the people that they are.
So separate.
So maybe move off the protest against Columbus Day and kind of set up a day where it can really be celebrated by everybody instead of having the discussions like we are here where it is more of a protest at this point.
Yeah, sure it is. And I mean, it helps. You could still have, if you're an advocate for Indigenous peoples and you want to bring something up on Columbus Day, you can. I mean, free country, you can bring up what you want. But I think you get a more pure celebration on a different day.
But do you think that it would get the press that it does now if Indigenous Peoples Day were, say, a Monday in November before Thanksgiving Day? Okay. Do you think it would still get talked about as much as it does by them putting it on Columbus Day?
Well, that depends on how you do this. If you had, and we don't see the Columbus Day parades here like they do in the Northeast and places with bigger Italian populations, but if you did if you, yeah, I think you would if you had Indigenous People Day. I mean, I would be thinking about representatives of our local Indigenous people here in Alabama doing parade or, you know, a bigger powwow event or something like that. Which, you know, and Dalton will tell you offline, I like the jingle dancing, American jingle dancing. I think it's fantastic. Like to watch that. If there was something, I can only speak for me, but if there was something like that going on a different day, I would celebrate it. Now, I can't speak for you and you and you and you and you, but I would be into it.
Well, it's not like I'm going out and celebrating Columbus Day anyway.
Right.
You know, it kind of snuck up on me this year. Every year,
October arrives and it sneaks up on me. I have not done any of my Columbus Day shopping, any of that.
I don't even know what to do for Columbus Day, except for what I've already done this morning, and that's completely misplaced the era that he arrived here in America.
Okay. So we'll take some more calls on that, and also we're still continuing to get feedback here on the idea of a Cops-like show for animal control. I'm just telling you, I think it would be a hit. Yep. I don't know if it would have four legs, but wouldn't have the legs of Cops or one of those shows. I don't think it goes on for 30 years, but I think you get a couple seasons out of it, get some sponsors on there, and make some money.
Why don't you include Game Wardens, too? I mean,
they have their shows. The Game Wardens
have their shows.
Like Alaskan Game Wardens or something like that. I've seen. So they have their own show. But this would be for like straight up animal control. And somebody, I think it was our buddy Ben, pointed out on the text line, the meth squirrel. Remember from up in North Alabama? Can you imagine that? When animal control gets called in for a meth squirrel?
Yeah, Bolo.
Yeah.
Bolo out on the meth squirrel.
And then they have to deal with that. I mean, that would be a very special Animal PD show. We're still working on the names. And a couple other things on our list this morning. Number one, the situation continues to disintegrate, if it could anymore, in northeast Syria and on the Turkish border. Also, response here from the president, and it was Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, carrying the message yesterday with Jonathan Carl on ABC about what the deal is there and how the United States may react. First of all, he laid out the scenario.
You have a longstanding conflict between people that have been helping us with ISIS and Turkey, which is a NATO ally. So I don't think this is as simple as this isn't Russia attacking the Kurds. This is a NATO ally. And again, we've put them on warning. The president has authorized me to effectively shut down the entire Turkey economy, and we can do that at a moment's notice on his command.
All right, so this, I guess, would come in form of an embargo, more from yesterday's interview with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
We are ready to go on a moment's notice to put on sanctions. And as I've said, these sanctions could be starting small. They could be maximum pressure, which would destroy the Turkish economy. So the president is very focused on this. He's offered to mediate this situation. It is a developing situation.
All right. And, you know, on the text line, when we mentioned it last hour, this is good. I love when I have a variety of responses here. And in the past, I've talked about that I've often, with question, looked at Turkey as a NATO ally. Right. And there are folks on there have agreed with me, and also folks have disagreed with me. And I get, let me carry what their message is. And this is true. This is one of the very salient points about Turkey. And believe me, in all my years of talk about getting Turkey out of NATO, I have heard these arguments, and they're pretty solid. If you kick Turkey out of NATO, in other words, they don't have the allegiance with the European powers and the United States, then Russia moves in, fills that void.
Mm.
And the Russians, of course, would love that access to a warm water port, even though I don't think the Russians ride herd over the Turks the way they would a smaller country. The Turks would be allies, but I don't know, you know, how much access the Russians would have through Turkey. But yes, Russia absolutely would look to fill that void there. I mean, they're already doing it. Think about the situation we're hearing about today. So United States pulling out, which, I mean, we still have troops there. They're trying to get out, and the bombing's going on. But you pull out, and you have the Syrian army stepping up now and making a deal with the Kurds, because the Kurds have been left holding the bag. Syrian army, Bashar al-Assad, who is backed by whom? Russia. So in moving our troops out, haven't we just already done something at the level of turning over control of an area fully to Russia? I'll talk about that when we get back as well. 343-0106, 343-0106.
836 on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Monday. It's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Happy Monday morning, buddy.
Hey, same to you. So what's going on at the lot at McConnell? What kind of great deals can we expect if we come by today?
Well, the exciting thing we have, Dalton, is several things, buddy, but I think the thing that sticks out in my mind for people out listening is 0% interest for up to 72 months on the two, you know, biggest and nicest things we sell, which is the new Sierra with that six-function tailgate everybody's just loving. And then, man, all our Yukons, Dalton, also 0%. So if people go check out our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, they can see those offers, Dalton. And also, man, over 10 grand off the Sierra pickup truck. And yeah, we've actually got a couple of the Acadias, which is the midsize SUV, Dalton, for 10 grand off too. So these deals are all on our website, buddy. People just need to kind of hurry up and check them out, because 0% on those vehicles, usually only about 2 or 3 months out of the year that we have that, buddy.
All right, it's a deal you got to catch now. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great start to the week, man.
That's Mitch McConnell. The website, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him and the crew in person at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, get back into some commentary here and some additional news on some international items and things the president is tweeting about this morning. But first, I do want to address one of these texts here about Indigenous Peoples Day. The texter says, if we have Native American Day, would it be racist to not legalize marijuana so they could smoke the peace pipe? Well, let me point out that they didn't have marijuana. Marijuana came from Asia. Well, it came from the steppe of Asia. I think it grows a lot of places, but the original place it was growing, I think, was like in Russia somewhere, and moved right. Tobacco. Come on, y'all. Tobacco was the thing. Remember, I mean, that's you speaking of the colonists in Columbus. Other than indigo fell out of fashion so much. Remember studying that in school? Be like, all right, the colonists were in, and they were looking at they were growing these cash crops needed to bring money into the colonies. They were tobacco and indigo. Tobacco seemed to have the staying power a lot more than indigo. Yeah. Indigo, not as big a deal as it was for the early colonials. Remember having to study that? It was always indigo. Indigo, they're growing lots of indigo,
right,
and some tobacco. And now you look back and say, well, those that chose tobacco probably made a little more money going down the line.
Did add a lot of color, though, to America's wardrobe.
Yes, but I mean, how do we get indigo now? We have some chemical probably that does this indigo. Yeah,
but there was peyote.
They might
not have had the marijuana for a while, but the peyote was around.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's watched Young Guns knows about that.
Are you telling me your Indigenous people, your Native American knowledge is based off of, as much as I love Young Guns?
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, I got some books for you.
Okay,
I got some books for you. But yes, those hallucinogens were part of it. But yeah, peace pipe was tobacco, pretty much. I'm pretty sure. I mean, there wasn't a hookah they were smoking. All right, a couple things here. Earlier I mentioned, and it just didn't work out, because I guess AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne thinks that being all over the country on Fox News Channel is more important than FM Talk 106.5's Mobile Mornings.
Wrong.
I would say wrong, too. I will remind him of that when we do get him on the show in the future. But he was on this morning to announce an investigation in the House. Now, will this go anywhere? Because, I mean, once again, Republicans are the minority in the House. But he was announcing a plan to call for a congressional investigation into the Bidens. Okay, obviously, this will be somewhat of an analog to the articles of impeachment, you know, research that's going on mm-hmm. with the Democrats in the House. He calls for a formal investigation into the Bidens, calling for a resolution to have three different committees investigate this. So that has been called for, and we'll talk about this more as this story starts to flesh out, but it's one of these things that's going to be brought up. I just don't see how, with the way the votes are in the House, that this will be picked up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. With it being a Democrat-controlled mm-hmm. House, this seems more like, and good on him for putting it out there, but I'm not sure it goes anywhere after
right.
this.
You can use it as a challenge to say, hey, if, and I think Congressman Byrne did this morning on Fox News say, well, you know, this was President Trump or one of President Trump's sons, they would be ready to do a big investigation here. He's pointing out hypocrisy here, which is, you know, which is the name of the game in Washington. Mm-hmm. Let's not move forward with I mean, look at it, both sides, both parties. Let's not move forward with the work of the people. Let's make sure to just keep the back and forth going on. between the two sides.
Meanwhile, we haven't heard much from the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on this over the last few weeks. I think he came out pretty early when the Democrats came out and said they were interested in putting an inquiry out there into impeachment. But, you know, we haven't heard from him much at all over the last couple of weeks. And I'm wondering when we will hear from the Senate Majority Leader.
Do you think we should have a wellness check done on Mitch McConnell?
It might be time.
Or wellness check there. Oh, by the way, too, I was looking at the president's tweets here because I want to, because there's this story about this. They call it a deep fake video. I want to take umbrage with that for a second, but this video that is a parody from another movie, add to the long list of movies I haven't seen, The Kingsman?
Yeah, The Kingsman.
I'm thinking about the band when I hear The Kingsman.
There's, if you don't know about The Kingsman,
that's me. I'm raising my hand. I don't know about The Kingsman.
It's a kind of Secret Service movie set. The first one's set in England. It's kind of like James Bond, except it's a lot more gore.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a comedy, too, so it's pretty funny. I love the movie. They've actually come out with two since then. The ladies know that Channing Tatum is in the second Kingsman movie.
He's Alabamian.
He is.
See, that's my Channing Tatum fact.
So
I know.
It's a pretty violent movie.
Okay.
Some would say that's why they like the movie so much, because of the violence depicted in there. But the president has lots of stories out this morning that I guess at his resort down there in Miami, there was a video played at a conference that had his supporters. And this video...
The administration didn't put on this event. Supporters of President Trump put on the event, right?
That's right. Okay. The supporters put on the event. And it's a video that I think was made... Well, I know it was made by someone online. I don't know if this person was directly involved in this conference that happened down there at Trump Miami. But the video depicts a scene from The Kingsman, the first movie, where one of the people in there goes on a violent spree there during the movie. But what this person did that made this video took a picture of Trump's head, the front and back of it, and kind of, you know, imposed it onto the main character here in this scene. And then as he's going through and shooting, stabbing, beating up a bunch of people in this scene from the movie, they took the logos from a bunch of different media organizations like CNN, The Young Turks, you know, MSNBC, and they also took pictures of
Hillary Clinton's in there, Bernie Sanders in there, Mitt Romney's in there, Schiff's in there.
Yeah, so, and Obama's in there. So they took pictures of a lot of the president's enemies and also put those on the bodies of the people that this guy is killing in the scene. So that set up quite a lot of stories this morning coming out there that said that, you know, these Trump supporters at the conference were calling on violence against some of these other media organizations and people.
Okay, and the president's denounced this morning, right? He's talking about this. Although I want to get in the last tweets I saw from President Trump this morning was to pull for Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no.
Which is
how is he still... Is he still on there? I think he'd make it past the first episode.
It says that... just an hour ago, vote for the good guy, Sean Spicer, tonight on Dancing with the Stars. He has always been there for us. So that's what... okay. So this video, though, so we watched it this morning. You know, unlike other entities out there, if we're going to comment on something and say we know something, we're going to watch it. So we watched it this morning. You know what it reminded me of is the video... And let me point out that this video was posted... I don't know when it was posted to YouTube, July 3rd of 2018.
Okay.
July 3rd of 2018, so well over a year old. It reminds me the video that has President Trump's face over a wrestler, and he's wrestling the different media, and they put the logos on the faces of the other wrestlers, and he's putting them in headlocks and body slamming them and all that. You've seen that one, hadn't you?
Remember the uproar from that. Didn't that come out right after the election?
I think so. It's not long after. So that one, if you've seen that, it's that same idea here, except it's, you know, in a different scene. But they call it a deep fake, and that's what I want to take umbrage with for a second. Now, they can say a meme or a video. Those are fine. Doesn't deep fake, and you correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not as savvy as you, but the deep fake is where we've seen they can put somebody's face on somebody that is... You can't discern it from reality.
Right.
Yeah. The deep fake, they could take your face and it's not like a Photoshop job that you're the guy, you know, at work does of somebody at work and go, oh, here he is, do it. it's like this deepfake stuff, you look like you're watching a real video, but it's not true. It's not that person in it, even though it looks like it.
Yeah, the deepfakes are much, much more worrisome than these memes that are out there. And I think it's important, you know, as we enter this new era of digital war.
Just because you see something, just because you see something still doesn't make it true. Yeah. Now does not make it true.
I would call this video that everyone's upset about now, I would call that a meme, certainly. And the deep fakes, those are scary because it's basically CGI. It looks so realistic.
Like, you wouldn't watch this video we're talking about and go, oh, that was really, Bernie Sanders. It's like a Photoshop job.
Yeah, no one's going to watch this video and mistake the lead character
I don't think it's in good taste, but at the same time, they're calling it a deep fake, and it's not a deep fake.
And deep fakes are something we need to be worried about because it has the potential to really cause some issues internationally and nationally. And even when you look at some of these smaller political races, those are some of the races that could really be upended by this, because deep fakes, you could have someone appear to say or do something that they have never done. You just take a video of something else that has happened, and it's way more difficult than anything I could do, but these people that are out there and so capable are able to make it look like, they could make it look like Sean did something he's never done, or me,
right.
Or it, let alone when you get to the higher parts of government, if someone put out a video of the president, you know, doing something that could cause instant war, that could cause major issues.
It's super scary. You know, we've had that ability in the audio side. You know, I've told people if I could make you say or not say, so if there's enough audio of you out there, I can make you say whatever. Okay? I don't do that because that's not right. That's not truth. But this is on the video and audio side, where you could have the audio of it, but you could have the easiest to me. This is one that scares me. The easiest to me would be in surveillance video, because it's already lower resolution, right? So it's typically grainy. It's typically, and you could go in and have surveillance video showing somebody entering a building or showing somebody doing, and say, look, there's so-and-so. And so in the future, if this is done, those videos are rolled out, and people who, you know, I hate to pick on groups, but the people that send me emails all the time that they've gotten that have these conspiracy theories, and they say, well, it's from the internet, it must be true. And I go, no. Could also see a video even more that shows something. And to your eyes, you say, my eyes aren't lying, I saw the thing. And in fact, that could be a deep fake, something that is completely not true.
Yeah, the video that laid it out clearest for me, if you want to know what deep fake can look like, there's a video of the comedian Bill Hader. He acts like other celebrities, does impressions of celebrities, and he's on this late night talk show, and he does impressions of Tom Cruise and Seth Rogen. And while you're watching the camera video of him doing the late night interview, as he starts to do the Tom Cruise impression, someone deep fakes Tom Cruise's head onto his head.
Yes.
And you can't tell the difference if you didn't know any better. It looks like Tom Cruise doing Tom Cruise lines. And same thing when he starts to do an impression of Seth Rogen, they superimpose Seth Rogen's head onto Bill Hader's head, and you can't tell the difference. It's amazing.
So that's just something. So to call this video that's out there a deep fake, I think, is a misnomer. This is, now people say it's in bad taste. Yeah, might have that discussion, but not a deep fake. It's a meme, right? It's not deep fake level. All right, 850, coming right back. Just got a city council update email I'll talk about here in just a second. Just came into the inbox. Get to that coming up in just a minute here. Run through some of these texts that have come in to 343-0106, 343-0106. Keith and others, I would read Keith's specific text, but other people have been talking about this. Said the same one saying it was fine for Kathy Griffin to hold Trump's severed head, say this is outrageous, right? I know over on Twitter as well, getting commentary. Freddie says it's a parody. See a lot of the parodies these days, but we live in the United States of the offended. So this is, it sounds like it was not the administration that put this on. Supporters of President Trump did. I think he's denounced it. Oh, well. I mean, these, and Freddie's right and Keith's right. I mean, their stuff is all over the web, these memes mm-hmm. like this. It shows me that we have some talented people that may need work. I don't know how in this economy that there's, I mean, if you got that kind of skill set, there's probably a job for you somewhere.
Yeah, this video is like 4 minutes long. It mm-hmm. must have taken them days to put right. this together. And I guess the reason this is making news, even though, as you said, this video has been up since early 2018 on YouTube, and I'm surprised, honestly, that it hasn't been removed on YouTube, because we see how quickly mm-hmm. they'll strike some of those videos down when they start to make national news. But the reason this is making news now is there was this conference last week there at Trump's Miami resort, and someone there at the conference took a video of it playing on his phone. Well, now the organizer of this event, who is, I guess, the company, the organization is called American Priority, but the organizer said they played it at the conference as part of a, quote, meme exhibit. And he went on to denounce the video, said his organization was trying to figure out how it was shown at their event. He said content was submitted by third parties and was not associated with or endorsed by the conference in any official capacity.
All right, there you go. Also, a quick update, the breakout of the ISIS prisoners you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, so over the weekend, as Turkey moves in to North Syria, one of those ISIS camps, there's been a big breakout. And the Wall Street Journal reports that it's hundreds of foreign women and children linked to the Islamic State who escaped from a camp there in northeastern Syria. So I don't know if this camp was only made up of women and children or if it involved some former fighters as well. But as Turkey begins to move into Syria, or they have moved into Syria at this point, as those Kurdish forces are fighting back, that leaves some holes in their ability right, to defend these prisons. And so these prisoners who have been linked to the Islamic State use that as their moment to get out.
To do the breakout.
And I know CNN ran a huge op-ed this morning saying all of the hard work and deaths that have come and gone because of our fight against ISIS have now been undone by the president moving troops out of Syria. But in this Wall Street Journal report here, they're saying that, you know, a lot of analysts say that that's not true, that it would take way more people than ISIS has right now to lead the kind of offensive that they have in the past.
All right, we'll talk about this more coming up on the Midday Show. And yeah, I got a note here. It says, as a result of council travel, the city council will hold their weekly meeting on Wednesday at 12:30, not Tuesday. And by the way, the ad hoc committee, which I like the name, I just like ad hoc, committee will meet Wednesday afternoon at 2 to discuss Mobile Municipal Court judge salaries and caseloads. Talk more about this on Wednesday then, not on Tuesday. City Council changing days this week. All right, Mike Gallagher next.